Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am Zoinks, and I am joined by my two favorite people in the whole entire world, because they're doing this podcast with me for, and we're now at the benchmark of 99 episodes. Kind of wild to think about. I'm joined by Doofsnex and Bridget. What's going on, you two? Doofsnex, gotta ask, how has your week been? You weren't on the podcast last week. Because I think you were still traveling abroad in Europe, really enjoying your vacation. So talk to us about your thoughts quickly on Eos Cup and just your entire journeys and how you've been.
Eos Cup was sick. NA and EU got a lot of work to do. I'm sure we'll touch on that today. Eeyore's in here. Let's get it. But yeah, Eos was a fun learning experience. I think it was incredibly humbling, especially as like the NA EU casters that we are. It sucks to have to be so gut checked by our own region.
Still top four in a stacked tournament.
Sure, but I think we would have. I would have expected a little bit of a stronger balance across whatever. I can make excuses, but it just is what it is. On the way home, our plane did like. Out of Edinburgh was 2 hours behind, so we missed our connection, which means we had to stay in the airport that's inside the JFK airport, which is themed like a 60s airport. And it was a surprisingly positive experience.
I was going to say, that's like of all
goofy
airports.
Goofy old cars and stuff in there, so Olive actually ran around and had a really good time. So in the worst case scenario, it was definitely the best option. So can't be too upset with that. And now we're back, and I'm apparently the only one who wasn't sick on the broadcast. So knock on wood.
Yeah. Jeez, I'm really happy you're still healthy. That's good to hear. But awesome. Well, I'm glad you got stuck in that airport. Is that a weird thing to say? I'm happy that.
Not really. I think it's fair.
Time. All right. Good, good, good. And Bridget, you were on the podcast last week when we were able to interview Rex from Team Nemesis. But how has your last week been? I know it's wedding season for you. You're traveling all over the country. But how have your travels been, too?
It's been really good. I had one friend's wedding on Sunday, and I have another one on Saturday. So
okay.
I'm in the thick of it. But I have a lot of fun. It was beautiful weather.
That's good.
Great time. I danced a lot. The DJ was very funny. It was great. So I'm like now in wedding mode. I'm like ready for my next one. So I'm excited.
That's good. That's good. My travels weren't super complicated or anything. I left on Sunday from the event. Unfortunately, I couldn't stay for Grand Final Sunday for the other games. I headed home. I am finally feeling a little better. So in that same sickness, I low-key thought I had like pneumonia for a little bit. Like it was rough,
but
it's okay. Today is like the first day that I am feeling like 100% again. It was awesome. You know, when you wake up and you're just like, finally, I'm up to snuff, which is awesome. Unfortunately, because I wasn't feeling great, I wasn't able to do as much of the qualifier stream I was hoping to this last weekend. But I still jumped on with Spraggles to do a little bit of North America, not really casting, just kind of watch partying a little bit. And we got to see Yeet Fan 1v5 a Rayquaza in absolute criminal activity for that moment. So that was still pretty cool to see. But we are going to be talking a lot of stuff on this podcast today. We have, of course, a brand new patch just hit the game, I guess this morning, if you're in our normal North American audience, but otherwise it hit the patch today. A few big changes to probably a lot of competitive relevant Pokemon, but not a ton of giant changes. We'll definitely talk about people's feelings around the patch. It's been a big talking point on social media and stuff like that. And then after that, we're going to talk about April Cup. We have the last UCS tournament before regionals happening this upcoming weekend, which is going to be pretty crazy. We got some fresh blood in top 8 of both EU and North America. We'll make some predictions, all that good stuff. So I hope you're all excited about that. But let's start with the patch, shall we? Let me change the screens here for everybody watching on Twitch or YouTube so they can see. But we are looking at patch 1.14.1.5. And I think it's fair if we just talk about that general discussion at the beginning that I was mentioning before. This patch hit a lot of stuff that I would say is relevant competitively, looking at you, Buzzwole. But it kind of left a lot of people lacking a lot more. I think Chris Heroes rated this patch a 1 out of 10. And yeah, absolutely. I know you can't see it on screen. I'll fix that right now. There we go.
I think he bumped it to a 2 because Buzzwole got nerfed.
Okay, sweet. We're back up to 2. Let's go, Pug. How are you all feeling about it? Tube Snakes, I'll start with you. If you were to rate the patch on a 1 to 10, where would you land this at?
I don't know, like a 4. Okay. We've had some pretty terrible patches, so... I'm assuming Chris Hero is not taking into consideration any other patch we've ever seen in the game to give it a rating that low.
Okay. Raw, I see.
But like Night Slash nerfed, that's because it's played not in our regions, right? It's not played in NA or EU. It's just not just as specialist Celestial. There.
The straight call right. out to poor Celestial for being the one the Night only, Slash the, NA the player.
So like, okay, does it leave things to be desired? Sure. Are the changes they made in the good direction also? Yes. Like, I don't know how we can be that livid. Like, if you're always upset by what's not in it, but the things that they've done are decent, like what is your expectation point? Like, this is not the last patch we got, which was a true 0 out of 10. It was like a negative 10 out of 10. Yeah. Like, if you look at this, I don't know.
Okay.
I thought it was fine. Like, of course, you know, oh, it's the tank meta. Sure, we were talking about it in our overdunk chat. All this other stuff. But it is what it is. It's fine. It's a step in the right direction. Like, you can't get too pissy about that. At least I don't think you can.
Okay. But still rating it sub 5. So still a negative review on the patch overall, which is important to remember. But how about you, Bridget?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. Just echoing what Doomsack said, we've definitely had way worse. Like, at least, like, you would think the Buzzwole nerf patch, people would be, like, very happy it finally happened. I understand, like, I guess being upset about other stuff, but I don't know. I don't think, like, extreme changes are necessary, but... Okay. I will cry about, like, my support role, for sure. wanting a change, but I think overall, like, I feel like enough was tuned. I definitely thought Gyarados was going to be way bigger of a problem, and then I realized it was kind of, like, a nerf and a buff, so.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Zoinks, can I ask Big Bridge a question real quick?
Oh, no.
Do you think this patch would have been, just in your opinion, both can answer. Do you think this patch would have been... better received. Yeah, wait,
hold on. I gotta stop. Whoever's shuffling cards, can we just set them?
Oh, it's 100%.
Right now? Sweet. It's hot micing right now. Weiss is okay, pulling you bad. Out on it. You're good.
My bad. So this is my question. Ignore the shuffled cards. Do you think this patch would have been better received if it happened before Eos Cup, after it was very clear that Buzzwole can just kind of be dealt with? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't like kryptonite to the NA EU theory that Buzzwole is unstoppable, that it would have been better received.
Yeah, honestly, that's really interesting to think about. I'm not sure, because I feel like people here also don't like when things are catered to, like, not our meta. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So.
And if anything we've learned this weekend is we aren't the front runners on what should be dictated to control the metas, because we kind of stopped. So
yeah, exactly. Like, I saw so many people, I mean, even including like Japanese players and stuff, being like, why was this Zoroark build nerfed? Like, what the heck? But
right.
I don't know. I was just like, I don't know.
I saw a lot of APAC players talking about the Zoroark nerf. They're like, why is Slash the one being nerfed?
Yeah.
Eeyore's in this chat. I'm actually curious how much APACs play in either Night Slash or Faint Attack, but we'll talk a bit more. But okay, if you had to rate it on a 1 to 10 scale, though, Bridget, where are you putting it before we even jump into some of these numbers?
Like, 1 being, like, not impactful, or... And like 10
I think it's enjoyment. Like,
or like enjoyment. Okay. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was loving Trikoopa earlier. I was having so much fun in solo queue playing it. So
sick. Glad someone will.
It's probably like a 5 for me, just for like that alone, truly.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
And the Buzz nerf was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would put it on 5 as well. Deuce Next, I think it's really interesting you bring the timing conversation up, because yes, I do think this patch would be overall a little more perceived positively if it was pre-Eos Cup. But it has been a long time since any big major changes have happened to the game. I think it's just because Pokemon releases have been so far apart these days that it is like, we haven't seen any big splashes or anything like that. Like, Meowscarada was maybe the biggest thing, and that kind of only hit NA compared to everything else. So, it's been a little lackluster there. So I think people are wanting some more. I personally would love, like, some of the bottom tiers having a big sweeping change. Like, let's make Charizard meta for a patch. Let's just do it, you know? Like, I would like some big changes. So I do see that vibe. For that, I'm going to rate this patch. I'll stick with Deuce Next on the 4. I think I'll rate it there with a 10. But
yeah, I think 4 or 5 is more than reasonable. I just, you know, the people are rating on the patch about what's not in it, correct? So
of course.
Yeah. True.
I wanted this. Like, oh, like, okay, but that's not what's in here, right? So if it's always of what's not in it, then every patch is forever a 1.
I mean, I see where you're going with that. I definitely see that logic. That can work out, yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's nuance to that.
Right.
But the point being, if the thing you complain about is forever what is not addressed or not in it, then there's never an opportunity for you to be content.
Right. Yeah. That's
and what true. A sad life to put yourself through.
Oof, that's content, baby. All right.
Pokemon Unite, the children's game.
video games. All right, let's jump into it. Let's start talking about some of the numbers and stuff like that. So, for podcast listeners who aren't seeing what's on screen, first Pokemon up is Zoroark. Night Slash received the nerf. Now, this might come as a surprise to a lot of people. This move was way less played in the Western metas and stuff like that. I hear Japan does play a decent amount of Night Slash. Very combo oriented, has more iframes involved in it than Feint Attack. So I know players would like some of the factors that Night Slash could bring for you. Received a nerf, both just mostly to damage. I don't think to cooldown. Oh no, and to cooldown as well. So 1 second cooldown increase and a bunch of damage scaling down. Oh well, your Feint Attack Zoros in North America are probably just going to be totally fine. Buzzwole is the big talking point of this patch, though. So let's talk about it a little bit more. Superpower combo, in when you hit that superpower plus level of gameplay, where you're able to just constantly reset it when you get your muscle gauge full, midair, and then you land, and superpower's already back, and you can just double chain them and everything like that. No longer possible. Unless you're hitting, like, the entire enemy team with the superpower, because, like, that fills your muscle gauge differently. But basically, your muscle gauge increases slower, and instead of resetting the cooldown all the way to 0 on Superpower Plus when you use it when your muscle gauge is full, it is now reduced by 3 seconds. So instead of a full cooldown reset, it slows down a little bit. You might be able to combo one of these, but it's not going to be, like, the insane infinites that Buzzwole were able to pull off before. The Unite move is still freakishly good, though, so I don't think this Pokemon will be falling off the edge of a cliff competitively. It might slow down. I am curious what you two think of that, though. Is Buzzwole gone? Is Buzzwole less played? Because we are in a realm where Buzzwole is like 95% ban rate. I pulled that number out of nowhere, but it feels right. So, Bridget, what do you think? Have you seen this Pokemon on ladder at all today? How are you feeling about it? Like, where is Buzzwole now?
I want to say I maybe saw it, like, once or twice. I actually do still feel like it was getting banned in the games I was playing. Okay. Like, I was, like, I think people are still just, like, don't even want to see it if it has changed or not.
Yeah, but let's not try.
At least so far, it doesn't seem to be as spammed. I'm sure people are just like excited about the new stuff. So I'm really not sure, actually.
Okay.
I was trying to watch some people play the patch earlier, but I feel like I wasn't even seeing much Buzzwole in their games either.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen as much. Dupes next. How about you? Buzzwole gone? Is Buzzwole here to stay? Is it a like Mount Rushmore etched into the face of Pokemon Unite at this point? Where's Buzzwole at?
No, it's not gone. It's the patented. It's been nerfed, so it's, you know, it's like a leper now, right? Like nobody touch it. It's probably closer to what it should have always been, right? Like, oh no, there's still really good Buzzwole players. That's going to make this character look very solid. It's going to be a great top lane pick where that is just an anemic spot within the roster to begin with. I think it's fine. Like, I think it's a step in the right direction again, and we'll see. You know, the good thing about this is, okay, we've brought Buzzwole back to planet Earth, and if we need to give it a lift a little bit, that can happen down the line, but this is fine. Like, it's fine. Yeah.
It's a positive change. It's a good change. I am just curious how much of an impact it will actually have in competitive. That's going to be the biggest question. This upcoming weekend is going to be the best test for that, of course, right? We're April Cup. We'll see how often this Pokemon is picked and or banned. Obviously, we have a few options in that top path. Blastoise is one of the most popular options to see there. Trevenant, I would say, is kind of leaving the defender role these days and finding itself more and more and more in that top path position. And Gyarados, especially after some buffs added to it as well, is another Pokemon that just seems dominant there as well. There are niche picks like Blaziken and Lucario. It's weird to call Blaziken niche, but hasn't seen as much success as you might think, despite seeing it picked quite frequently. So I'm curious where Buzzwole lands, because, like, are these other picks now even stronger than it? Yeah, we could see Umbreon top. That's a great point from chat. The Foul Play Snarl build is a brawler that, even if you wanted to play Wish just to give yourself some self-sustain, both are viable options. So I think this Buzzwole change, obviously, we all think it's a positive change. I don't think anybody's like, this shouldn't have happened. Like, please, no. Like, I think we're all pretty happy about this specific change. I actually think this impact will be felt quite a bit, but maybe not just because of the Buzzwole change, but because of some of the other positive changes to other top path Pokemon, specifically Gyarados is the one that I'm thinking of the most. So I think we are going to see a lot more competition, and Buzzwole fall out of that ban slot a little bit more. Okay, Mewtwo Y. We don't talk about EX Pokemon too much on this podcast because we're mostly focused on competitive, but the special attack stats have been nerfed on this Pokemon, as well as Teleport and the Unite move. Great. This was the strongest EX Pokemon, in my opinion. I was always banning Mewtwo Y in my games. Pokemon's crazy good. I don't know why people were like, it's not as bad with the EX changes. I was like, this Pokemon's still insane. So I'm glad it got its stats adjusted. Great. One step better in the right direction. It is kind of bizarre that we're seeing a nerf to this Pokemon when it's not going to be allowed in ranked literally tomorrow, because all of rank season in Masters won't have EX Pokemon. But hey, I'm not going to say no to Mewtwo nerfs. So cool. Machamp. Machamp getting a defensive stat boost. Not huge. Honestly, really small numbers across the board for its physical defense. Special defense getting a little bit more. In terms of the stat boost, which, seeing as how many mages are out there these days, I think it's a Pokemon that we could absolutely want some love in the direction of. But it's not just the defense, it's also submission getting buffed. 91% of attack stat increased to 115% of attack stat for its ratio, and then the base getting increased by 40. That hits a lot harder for submission. This is pretty cool. Deucex, do you think submission Machamp is here?
I hope so. It holds a very special spot in my heart. It was like the first attacker character I picked up in the game, and I played submission cross chop on Machamp and was having so much fun.
Yeah.
Just snap. I mean, it's the original Buzzwole, right? Just snatching people up, putting them down, right? Yeah. Repositioning. It was awesome.
It feels like fair Buzzwole a little bit.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I'm for this. I hope it brings, you know, a resurgence out of some of those Machamp mains that are running around on Ladder. That would be so cool. So again, another thumbs up. I mean, maybe this patch is higher. Like, the first four things we've gone through have been thumbs up for me. So
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm the one rating it on the stuff that's not in it. There you go.
There we go. Boom, we're all falling victim to it, I suppose. Bridget, I'm going to jump in quick on my chat because I played a decent amount too. Submission, I think it's really fun. I think this makes it more of a viable pick on ladder, mostly. Like, I think this is an exciting ladder change. Competitively, though, when we see Machamp, I just don't ever see a way that you don't go double mobility, like, with Machamp. Sure. I just think that's too strong for, like, top players to skill express. But I do think buffing submission is fun. So I'm super down for that. I personally like that change. There's another Pokemon in this list that I totally think it's right there with that. We'll get to that in a bit. But Bridget, how about you? Any thoughts on Machamp before we continue on?
I do not have any sentimental feelings to playing Machamp.
Yeah.
But I agree. I like when they give something love that. I mean, when's the last time we've gotten anything for Machamp or like submission? I like that they're trying to...
I know last patch they broke Cross Chop and it didn't work as well anymore. So
yeah.
I think they fixed it eventually. But so it's good to see a positive change for Machamp. That's cool.
Yeah, and just kind of getting it scaled. I feel like a lot of the, like, especially like initial release mons were getting like power crept pretty bad. So I know the defense stuff isn't huge, but... it definitely won't be mad about it.
No.
I think it definitely needs something.
What this change does is make it in unique corner cases in competitive. You can make an argument to, like, all of a sudden pull out submission and kind of wreck a team that's, like, not expecting that. So in that sense, it's obviously good, right? Because it definitely has a better potential to be played now than before. While I agree that double mobility is kind of supreme, the fact that you have that option and it's not a complete tragedy is also good.
Chat, this buff absolutely is K-Stuff coded. that is true. I'm down. Also, Machamp submissioning a unbound Hoopa is like top three favorite interactions in the game. It is so funny to see that giant, a cosmic entity flip over like three times and then get slammed. It is hysterical to me. Okay, Snorlax block getting a buff. The self-slow, wow, say that 10 times fast. Don't do it, actually. Terrible podcasting. Has been reduced from 45% to 30%. Gonna move a little quicker with that shield off the get-go. And then you increase the shield 900 to 1350 base increase. And then 10% of max HP to 15% max HP. The Pokemon like Snorlax, that actually is a tangible large number, as one of the highest base HP Pokemon in the game. So very cool to see. I have played this Pokemon quite a bit on ladder today. It was like the first one I wanted to pick up after I saw these changes, because I personally love Heavy Slam Block. I get it. Yawn's really good. Synergizes great with a lot of mages that are really popular these days. But playing with brawlers and utilizing block is just so fun. And I picked this Pokemon again. It's great. Block feels like a survivability tool sometimes now. Like, if you're in a tough situation, you just click block and immediately cancel it. Get that shielding and bail. I don't know. It's like a really, really solid option now. Competitively, I do think it depends on your draft of, like, if you would go block or yawn. The Heavy Slam, yawn, chain amount of CC you have is still kind of unmatched. But block, I feel like in final fights, has more viability. The amount of walls in the Theosky Ruins central area synergize so well with block. You get the Pokemon caught in a tough corridor. It's really, really strong. So I don't know. I think this is, like, one we will start seeing more in tournaments. I think we're going to start seeing some Snorlax walls again. Opinions?
I'm with you.
I think it already, it wasn't bad, but Yawn just became more meta. So, right. I'd love to see more blocking.
Cool.
Nice Heavy Slam block plays in terms of team play is very sick to watch, too.
It's also so funny to press your X speed button and then do it, and you just bring them all the way across the map. You just kidnap one enemy Pokemon for what feels like a Boston Marathon distance all the way back into your which is, yes, the same distance as every marathon. Anyway, Aegislash is the next Pokemon on the list. Iron Head and Sacred Sword both being buffed. This is that change that I was talking about earlier. Just a really fun change to both these options. Iron Head cooldown, great. It was too long already. You're still not picking this over Wideguard. I've played a lot of Aegislash. I was playing some today. Iron Head skill expression is absolutely there. You can ignore some huge bursts of enemy damage if you time Iron Head correctly. It's strong. You're still picking Wideguard. It's just too good. It's just got way too much versatility as a move. Sacred Sword buff, though. This is already the move that you were probably wanting to pick up. Cooldown reduced from 7.5 seconds to 6.5 seconds. And thank you so much, Unite Battle Hub, for the raid. I hope your second NA qualifier went well. Well, definitely. Relic was talking about a Gengar being played, so already I'm kind of psyched. But yeah, Aegislash changes. I don't know. Anybody have any extra thoughts? Obviously, they're relatively small, but...
It feels in line with Snorlax, right? Like that set or that Pokemon, it was not that far away. And, you know, we already were seeing some Aegislash in some cases. So, hey, if Sacred Sword gets the buff and that's a difference maker to have, you know, the sword become another piece, a relevant piece of the competitive arsenal, hell yeah, all in.
Cool. Bridget?
Yeah, it feels like a lot of these buffs are kind of like for niche cases that could be like probably more helpful and relevant in competitive draft, but even with us getting draft like pretty much all the time once you hit masters, I don't know, I like that they're kind of making the quirky stuff like less troll. Yeah. It feels like
I love that, totally there. All right, here's another patch winner, I think it's fair to say, is Gyarados. Waterfall buff, activation time between charges reduced from 0.3 seconds to 0.07 seconds. That is a huge change. Waterfall feels very smooth, very, very strong now. Aqua Tail, distance advancing during waves reduced, 1 meter to 1.5 meters. Still, you're probably not picking Aqua Tail. But Bounce, this change is crazy. Have any of you seen this yet? It now throws Pokemon. Throws in Unite is just code for vertical, like, knockup. Throws Pokemon when max charge instead of throwing Pokemon paralyzed by Dragon Breath first. The fact that you don't have to Dragon Breath to get the knockup is unbelievable. But you have to max channel it. So another, I know we're referencing, this is the second time we're referencing Chris Heroes. No free shoutouts. I will be Venmo requesting him. But he was talking about how this now makes the combo from Gyarados stronger from range, but less easy to use if you just throw it all together in close range. So you win some, lose some, but still, I don't know, this change feels crazy good. Ambushes by Gyarados are so strong now.
Yeah, it's sick. I mean, it's an amazing engagement tool, right? It's exactly the type of thing you want to follow up on. And the fact that it can't be leveraged in that close combat way that you mentioned once you're in the fray is obviously good, right? That is a little bit of forethought to what you're trying to do to what it could end up being later on. So, like another solid move here.
That is a good question though, because this is like, did this Pokemon need a buff? I don't know.
Like maybe not, but Gyarados is a release that should have been one of the few that was slightly overtuned to begin with, and it should have had to been reeled back, not buffed four times.
Okay.
Because people love Gyarados.
That's a good choice. I don't know about y'all. I cannot escape the Unite ads these days. On YouTube and some of my favorite mobile games, every button I'm clicking, it's going, Gyarados is now in Unite! And I'm like, whoa! I don't know. Google ads have locked in that I enjoy this video game, and I have been getting bombarded with Unite ads. I don't know if that's the same way for all of you.
YouTube Premium gang, rise up!
Okay.
It's because you're a mobile player.
Okay, all right. You said it like an insult, but all I heard was you clapping for me. That was weird.
Because they're you're selling your mobile data, and advertisers are buying it. And they said, this guy loves it.
True. Shout out the China client. Can't wait. Okay. Hoopa. Trick has been buffed. The shield has been moved up from a base 400 to 600. And the movement speed increase of duration has been increased by a second, from 2 seconds to 3 seconds. I will say, Bridget, I want your thoughts on this because I know you've been playing some Trick Hoopa. That last line feels like by far the most impactful part of this buff. I have been feeling the zoom recently.
I was just gonna say I could feel it. Like I'm zooming.
Okay.
I was solo queuing with it, and I got a Mewtwo Y player, and I was like, "Yeah, we're doing this.
Oh, we're going."
Then the other team FF'd at 5. I'm like, "Yeah, this feels good."
Yep.
It's kind of filling the. I don't know. We haven't gotten to the Eldegoss of it all, but it kind of feels like a not troll, like good solo queue support that I feel like the Eldegoss used to fulfill with being like high damage. I definitely prefer Phantom Force with it because then if people know how it works, you do have at least some healing. It's like a good 50-50 shot on if they know they can get heals from that, but it's pretty worth.
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of fun with it already.
Press the button, people. Press the button.
I try. You know, you can tell real fast if they know or if they don't. So keep that in mind. But I think it feels really good. I know, obviously, Dupesnax feels differently. Portals is obviously like such a unique mechanic. But I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. Trick felt pretty good.
Yeah, Rise Ult on cooldown's pretty strong. So, Dupesnax, how are you feeling? I asked you to try Trick. You said, absolutely not. Under no circumstances will I be picking this. Have you seen it? How are you feeling about this Trick buff?
I haven't seen it. I didn't say I would never pick it. I said it once. It's distinctly better than a hyperspace hole.
Okay.
Since I play in stacks, I won't be doing it. Now, if the stack I'm playing it goes, hey, we want you to play Trick Hoopa, I will play Trick Hoopa. That's totally fine.
Although, shout out to Kello in chat saying Trick is fun. You're so right. You're fighting the wrong fight, Kello. You don't understand. Fun is not a part of the consideration that Dupesnax brings when he's picking a Pokemon.
I have the most fun when I'm playing characters I overall enjoy and win games. So
there you go.
So my enjoyment comes from the different things Hoopa does, not necessarily just the Trick play pattern. So it's all good. And last time you and I played together, Zoinks, I'm pretty sure we were trying to do the Talonflame Trick combo, and it went not awesome, but we were trying really hard.
We did it once.
The one time we did it, it felt like we were just kings. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we got no value out of it either.
Absolutely not.
We pulled it off.
The value was that we didn't die. And we were like, yeah! As we were running back to base. Felt great. Okay. All right. Well, Hoopa, again, feels like another fun change. Probably not going to see this competitively, but fun. I'm into it. Yeah, Hoopa Dragapult is actually one of my favorites. Dragon Dance Dragapult already, I think, is a slept-on option. For Dragapult, not competitively. I think that Pokemon's honestly pretty atrocious competitively, but I think Phantom Force Trick is a great combination. Dragon Dance, Phantom Force from Hoopa, not Phantom Force. You get it. All right, Umbreon, the next Pokemon that has been changed. Defenses were increased for God knows what reason. Honestly, can't come up with a reason why it's going to happen. It's for the early game, though. Umbreon, kind of notoriously the worst EV early. Whatever. making a case for an EV
evolution.
Didn't
it get its defense reduced? Did I miss that?
What? No, it's...
The defense is all nerfed.
Great change. Big fan of this one. Genuinely, thank you, Dupesnax, for keeping me honest. I was just lamenting about this change. But okay, great. The defense stats have been nerfed for Umbreon. Swift bug fix, great. These are the big changes. Foul Play receives a huge buff, and Wish receives a huge buff. I've been playing double stacking Foul Play, Wish, Umbreon, and Ladder. It's good, y'all. This build is strong now. It feels like, if you could play Wish Mean Look still and have a genuinely good supporting Umbreon, you don't even need Mean Look. You can play the Foul Play build as a strong support Umbreon and rely on Wish Healing. I do think these numbers have pushed it into the category where it's no longer a niche like option for healer. Like, it feels like we can just consider Umbreon one of the healing options now. Bridget, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I have always kind of liked when you could put XP share and kind of be like a support Pikachu. I guess that was kind of like my favorite one, but I know people have done it with Espeon. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Ignorance.
I feel like Mew even considered it for a while. Yeah. Shout out Ignorance.
Coaching Mew?
Yep. When Umbreon released, I mean, I have a green ribbon on Umbreon. I definitely play it. Like, I like when the other roles can fill in, but it just feels like the tank defender category in Unite right now is just like you already have top lane and the tank role, and now you have the support role too. Like, oh my god! Like,
Unite loves green. Unite loves the color green. They really do.
Yeah, I'm like, why didn't you just like say Umbreon was a support? I don't know. That's, I guess, a broader issue. I think it's kind of weird that like the tank role is just like they're getting buffed or they're dodging nerfs, but everything else is like, I don't know, being punished. It's interesting to me for sure. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's fine. It's fine. I'm neutral. Okay. I guess I'm playing Umbreon now.
Yeah.
That's
it sounds it. Like you're coming to terms with it. Last time we discussed this off camera, I was definitely not this positive. So I think Bridget is slowly embracing the new Umbreon Overlord kind of mentality.
I mean, it's just like, I definitely just play like whatever. I play all the supports, so I don't really, you know, mm-hmm. I'll play what's meta and I'll play what's strong if I like it, which, I mean, I don't know. It's not my favorite, but it's basically like new Blissey, it feels like.
Sure. I get that. How about you, Deucenex? Yeah. Thoughts on the Umbreon changes?
Yeah, so I will try and silver lining this thing to the best of my ability. what is nice as a support player from this buff is it makes the non-healing support characters playable now. So if you think of it that way, it does open up the door for Wiggly becomes more relevant. Sableye becomes more relevant. Mime becomes more relevant, but not necessarily the tank role, more in like the guard swap type role, right? Sure. Because you're supplementing that with another kind of off tank or pseudo healer, right? Pseudo support, however you want to call it. So it facilitates composition depth, potential composition depth is the words I want to choose for that. For example, we just saw, you know, E-Kittens, Muk playing as their defender was using Wish, I think it was Wish Foul Play, just using that as part of when they were going into their Sableye comp. Well, that becomes more relevant now, right? Now it was objectively kind of trash when I was watching it in their last game when they qualified, like,
damn.
But now it actually feels real. So for a team like that already kind of had this on their radar and was already like making selections to make this composition valid for them as a strategy, like, this is great. This facilitates kind of some season one, like Wiggly sing, run it down engagements with Umbreon support. So you can like sing Mean Look and you can like chain CC out. And then Wigglytuff actually feels like, you know, an engagement support in that sense. So I'll say that, like, do I wish we just had more support characters instead? Yes, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the silver lining and the only positive spin I can put on this is what I just said. So I'll go with that.
All right. I'm going to come with the more middle of the road take as well, more aligned with Bridget. I genuinely think this Pokemon is busted now. I think these heals are way too much. I was getting like 80k healing games and I'm not hitting optimal wishes. I'm just kind of hitting the button every now and then. I'm forgetting I have wish sometimes. I'm having too much fun with foul play. And I'm like, this can't be good. I don't know. I am. Umbreon is like my biggest cause for concern in this patch. So
I agree.
We'll see. I don't know. We might be like, this immediate fix, please. This has got to be changed.
Yeah, I would like again to reiterate that that was me applying a silver lining to what I think is a very dark cloud.
Mm. Well, the cloud is dark.
I was trying for you, context does not matter in content, baby. We're cruising. That clip is there.
Romeo the Way.
Umbreon lover dupe snacks.
Okay, well, we know who the Umbreon lover is.
I'm going to play it. It's broken. I just said. All right. Azumarill. This is actually not even a hot take. This is just one of my bad takes, and I haven't been able to get it out. Ever since Azumarill's been added to the game, I don't like this Pokemon. I used to like Azumarill before it's in Unite. I feel like it's one of the most bland, boring designs in the entire game. I don't know. Wow. It's just not. There's no part of Azumarill that I like. Anyway, Whirlpool got a buff. Unite move. Now can't target wild Pokemon. Feels like a good change. You don't want to accidentally hit the Bunnelby anymore, so that's kind of cool. Anyone who cares more about this Pokemon when I have a thought on it? Doomsnacks, any thoughts on Azumarill?
I got no minutes on this character. Yeah, it hasn't been relevant competitive. It hasn't been relevant as a character that I enjoy in the franchise. It hasn't been relevant as a character I've wanted to play. I have nothing to say. Literally nothing.
Heck yeah.
I'm so Azumarill offended.
Hater podcast. This is great.
I'm so Bridget. Offended.
Bridget, where you
I
at?
I love the Azuline. It's like one of the few all-rounders I actually play. Mm-hmm. Not this build, but...
I think Meryl is adorable. One of my favorite Pokemon ever.
Yeah, have you seen that guy running down the lane? Why are you guys so mad? Who hurt you? Not Meryl. He's so cute.
And that's why it's not played in competitive.
I'm not playing competitive. I don't care.
Take that.
More than
Mr. Sableye.
I'm going to rub my AOS Cup sign to channel some more competitive into my body.
Oh my gosh.
Taking that gamer energy.
That's crazy. Okay. But for real though, Bridget, how are you feeling about these changes?
Whirlpool, I'm kind of, like, neutral on, like, yeah, I guess it needed it. I don't even know. I don't know what I'd change about Azu. But I think the Unite move is interesting. Like, did they have data on how many times people were accidentally hitting, like, wild Pokemon instead
of,
like, an enemy?
You know there was one developer like, who's like, we gotta change this. I'm so sick and tired of hitting this stupid ball toy.
It just almost feels like a nerf because I kind of get annoyed at the Unite moves where you need an enemy to, like, cast them. I understand it's, like, annoying when you mess it up, but it's, like, don't mess it up.
Forehead, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's kind of, like, because Azu had, like, great, like, it had, like, pretty solid rip, like, you could solo. I mean, I'm sure you can still solo whatever objectives, but
yeah,
you just unite that bad boy and it's gone. But yeah, mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of odd, but
yeah. Now you can't hit Ray, maybe. Right? That's like maybe the concern with this is you can't just unite, move on to Ray, but all the other parts of Azu's kit are mostly melee engagement focused anyways, so you probably don't need to dash. I guess we'll see. Maybe this actually feels like one of those changes where they could revert, you know, like
you
maybe
think?
People are like, well, we'll see though, you know, like depends on how the change works out. But if people are like, this sucks and it's like a couple patches down the line, we definitely could see this change go back. But well, I'm not sure. Okay. Next Pokemon, Krustle, for some reason, got a buff. Insane. This Pokemon's so good. Rubble Rouser is now unstoppable. The Japanese patch notes were talking about it, how it's like a flavor win now that like he gets that because it doesn't make sense that you could stop him because like I guess kind of against his design. It's like whatever. I don't know of anybody who's like intentionally trying to cancel Krustle's alt animation. Like whatever. I don't think the change is anything. It just felt weird that we're buffing this Pokemon at all, I guess, is the one thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
That part. Yeah.
Whatever. Espeon stored power nerf. Freaking love this. I am sick and tired of Espeon level 4 ganks. I am like, please stop it. Very, very happy that this got a nerf. I don't think it's enough. I think this Pokemon's still extremely strong. Evolutions are just too good. The Unite move's the best anti-dive option in the game, and you can use it offensively as well. Espeon's still crazy good, and I think we still see stored power. Am I wrong? Anybody having differing opinions on that? Do we see the change from stored power to, what is it, Psyshock?
I played a stored power game. I think it was my first game when after the patch dropped, and I did 100k still. So I think it's still good. I'm not that good at Espeon, so.
All right.
I think it's still good.
Deuce next.
Any Espeon nerf within reason is a positive to me, so I'm good with this.
All right. Meowscarada just got a slap on the wrist in terms of the attack stat late game, so as it scales, the change is a little more dramatic. 30 points, though, at level 15, hard capping. Not the biggest thing. I think this is probably mostly changed to how impactful the Unite move is in late stage team fights. If you let a Meowscarada get up to level 14, 15, they hit you with the Unite. Like, I don't care what Pokemon you are. You could be Blastoise and Rapid Spin. You're still dying to that thing. So I think that's kind of what they're aiming for. I don't know. Just slightly toned down. I don't think it'll be too crazy. Eldegoss. This was one of much discussion. Boosted basically across the board. Its damage has been nerfed on Pollen Puff, on its boosted autos, and on its Unite move. This has not changed the healing of Pollen Puff at all, or the healing on the Unite move, but the damage and the slow duration on the boosted auto attacks has been reduced, which kind of felt like Eldegoss's niche for a long time. Obviously, it's kind of evolved past that in the metagame. It's kind of a do-it-all support at this point in time, but that's being reduced. I honestly think this change is fine. Eldegoss was seeing a little too much play, in my opinion. I think it was kind of just clear, far and away, the best support in the game. And I think this change is overall positive. So I'm happy with it. I know some people aren't, though. Deuce next. You play some Eldegoss. How are you feeling about this one?
I definitely warranted. I'm with you. I've been playing a lot of Eldegoss lately, for sure, as it's definitely kind of risen in the prior line. Yeah. What I would have loved to see with this is actually the slow reduced stay the same. The slow reduction stay the same. The duration reduced. All of the other stuff looks good, but this would have been a perfect time to gas up Leaf Tornado.
Yes.
Because Leaf Tornado, what is it? Cloud Shield?
Cotton Guard.
Thank you. Is such a fun set to play. And that is one that I would, if that was released and that's what you asked me to play, I would have spammed like 40 games of that, because I played that on repeat on Eldegoss, because it was the first character I played in the game, and it was Leaf Tornado Cotton Guard as the day is long. So that's what I would have loved to see as part of this adjustment, is like a tip of the cap that Leaf Tornado has literally not been picked in like 18 months. So let's get something going.
I have been calling for this forever, and it's probably too broken. But the Leaf Tornado change I would love is give its blind to the non-plus version, but for a way less amount of time than it exists for on the plus version. Give it like a 0.3 second blind or something, and only to the first target hit. So it works very similarly to Chandelure's Imprison. Before it reaches plus, it's just not a stun, it's a blind. I think that would be, it would be so good, like, for first objectives. Like, all your Eldegoss is doing is just waiting to hit like whatever mage they're playing, or whatever ADC they're playing, to try to cancel their secure. I think it would be awesome. It would be a very fun set to play. I don't know, I would love it. It would be very timing oriented if you made the duration short enough. I would be in love with that change. But I don't know if we're ever going to get it, but for now, these changes, I don't know, feel fine to me. But Bridget, I know you are the second of the support duo on this podcast, you and Deuce next together, so tell me what your opinions are on the LD change.
I am not surprised by any means, but yeah, I was kind of bummed. I know it's been like a ladder demon for a really, really long time, especially the damage build, which I play a lot more of a support Eldegoss, so that's usually what I'm going for anyway. But you talking about Leaf Tornado, I just feel like that would have been like the perfect thing to do, because this was basically a nerf to like the damage Eldegoss build, and so forcing them to pick the other moveset, so you kind of can't have the dual healing and damage, like you kind of have to pick one or the other.
be awesome.
Man, that would have been awesome. I'm mad we don't have that. But maybe people will want, like, the people who like to play that hyper-aggressive Eldegoss will want to go more Leaf Tornado.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's... Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily doing more damage than Puff now, but it might be worth a shot.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would personally be a big fan. I think everybody would be. I think a Leaf Tornado buff is a buff for the community. But the rest of the changes are just bug fixes. Not really worth going into those too much, I think. But yeah, actually, to tell you the truth, Deepsize, you said at the start of the segment when we were talking about the patch notes, I think going through them one by one and talking about the impact and whether I like them or not, I think this patch is rising for me. In terms of likability, like, I think it's raising. I would rate this patch like a 6.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too, to be 100% honest. And
I think if there was a Pokemon that was like out of the blue, like, this is so strong now, it would be like a 9, 10, and a 10 patch for me. But it's not. And so there's no big surprise to this patch. So for that, I just have to put it somewhere in the middle. But I am going to give it that positive lean of the 6.
I agree. Like, the biggest thing going against it is definitely the Umbreon. I don't think it's particularly close. The Crustle buff is... Yeah, right. You know, and not surprising, not unexpected, right? Mm-hmm. That's it. I wish I could punch more holes in it, but I think I'm figuring out that even my thing of everybody that's complaining about it is complaining about the stuff that's not in it. I think that's where my head was at, too, to be honest with you, because I'm thinking about... just other, you know, how strong like Blastoise is, the fact that Tree can be played anywhere. You know, I'm thinking all of these defenders, and it's another defender getting buffed here. So I wasn't even taking my own, like, how you should approach analyzing the patch advice that I gave at the start. it's definitely higher because, I mean, I think I gave one thumbs down and all of them were either neutral or plus. So
fair enough.
Look at me. Egg on my face.
How about you, Bridget? Has your opinion at all changed since we went through with a fine tooth comb through that patch?
Not too much. I feel like Smim in the chat brought up a good point, especially with us having a bunch of finals this weekend for UCS. I feel like it's a good thing there wasn't like a crazy like, this is just broken now, like, good luck, which they have done before tourneys, so
it's true.
I'm not super mad. I just hope we don't go too long without another patch, if I'm being honest, because
I'm hoping for some changes with Phalanx release for sure, which will be coming out pretty soon. I think like in just over a week, right? Or next weekend even.
Yeah.
So maybe that's asking for a little much. Probably some bug fixes with Phalanx or something like that, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's going to close us out on the patch notes, and let me check. Yeah, we've been going for almost an hour. We spent a lot. It was a bigger patch, I think, than I definitely expected. So we are going to be talking about April Cup next, but I don't think there is any realm of possibility where we have the time to do full predictions or anything like that for the top 8 bracket. So I'm going to frame it a little bit different for us as we go through, and more just pose kind of a few questions for both the EU and the NA bracket. And I want to talk about, I think, what let's each pick, of course, who we think is going to win the tournament, a dark horse to win the tournament, a matchup you are specifically really excited to see, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's where we'll leave it. But let's talk about EU first. For those of you listening in podcast land, winner side of the bracket is Talibobo Unleashed, which is basically Utah and Mega leaving Nouns Esports and going to join the rest of the 4 Free Squad. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. The L remains against Talibobo Unleashed for the first game. Yalla Bingo versus Nouns Esports on the winner side. Feels like a very clear top 4 in EU these days amongst those 4 squads. On the loser side, it is Cinco Golemo versus Capibabas and Sucre Sucre versus Roster Mania. A lot of capital letters in that last one. One I am very excited for. Deuce next. Let's jump to you first.
Okay.
Out of these matches, and even potentially we could continue on them, I could show the projected if you'd like. Is there a specific match that you're really excited to see this weekend for EU?
Yeah, so the first match that I'm super excited about seeing is Yalla Bingo versus Nouns Esports, because it's going to be a great measuring stick for Nouns specifically after the roster swaps, right?
Okay.
Yalla Bingo has stayed together. Yalla Bingo can be sorted out and predicted on a little bit, right? I think it's easy to see that their Achilles heel is Potato, and I don't mean that they're not a good player. I just mean that if you focus fire down Potato, Yalla Bingo as a collective has a harder time to succeed. However, Nouns Esports has not had a lot of time to patch this new team together. The good news is Gotlu has been on Nouns for 2 years, so they're kind of going back home. The bad news is Sereyu needs to get in the mix and get into the flow of the rest of it.
Yeah.
In terms of just who I think is going to win EU, I think it's going to be Talibobo Unleashed. I think Megu and Yutao specifically thrive under service, which is why initially when Nouns was talking about their ads, I actually thought it was going to be Zervas going to Nouns Esports to give them kind of a melon in the captain's seat to help corral the personalities that are there. So I actually think Yutao and Megu going back under service is going to give them the best opportunity to succeed and get to form that we saw or are used to seeing last year versus kind of the hit or miss that we've seen out of them this year. And that's my own personal opinion. So I think I answered the questions that you laid out, right?
Last one was Dark Horse of the tournament.
Dark Horse, Capybaba's got to be, right? I mean, they absolutely went crazy at the AOS Cup. Yeah. They've got some sort of magic going. I did see somebody mention that Gek is on Rostermania. That is a lot of fun specifically because Gek is a great person to speak to. But if you're just talking about like just absolute the darkest horse that has proven that they can make a run, I don't know how you, tip the cap to Capybaba's there.
Yeah. And also, Gek, avid Overdunk listener, has messaged me many times that he's listened to the podcast and says that we have way too much of an NA bias compared to EU. So,
My bias has been humbled quite literally while I was sitting in London.
All right, fair enough. Okay, Bridget, I guess same flurry of questions to you. You can start with the matchup you're most excited for. It doesn't have to be a first-round matchup. It could be a later one if we kind of look at the projected or even just where you think these games could go. But any two teams in this top eight you're really excited to see face off against each other?
Everyone in this top eight is really good. I'm always kind of pretty much excited for all of it for the most part. But I am excited to see Cinco Galemo back in EU top eight. And so I'm actually kind of excited for their first game against Capybaba's because, like Dupe was saying, they went... I don't know what happened at EUIC quite literally because we really didn't... A lot of their games were not streamed, so...
Yeah, they dodged stream quite frequently.
A lot. Yeah, so... Which stinks because I feel like they had, like, an insane run.
Because every team they beat should have been stomps. Like, they should have, on paper, gotten destroyed. And they were just murking these top teams over and over again. Like,
I know.
Yeah, I guess we're playing da-da-da-da-da. And they were just, like, chuckling. And, like, I literally walked by in the middle of a game. And young Leon did, like, I see you. Like, he just stopped playing. And they were just on a having a blast on a different level.
That's awesome.
It was so, what a ride just Capybaba was on. And people were kept coming back, like, hey, we lost a Cappy. And they're like, and then you look at Cappy and they're like, hey, we got another one. And then they're just spending on Twitter shitting on Not Dodo, who didn't play with them. And they play with like a last minute sub. And they're like, that was the recipe to success the whole time. Just get rid of Dodo, who I think is actually playing with them.
He is.
This,
He's back on the team. Yeah.
Amazing.
But they still got top eight.
It's great. I like what a fun team.
Yeah,
that's awesome. See.
Yeah, I have a distinct memory. I was talking to Team YouTube at EUSC, and this was when Otter was playing on the team, and he was like, yeah, we were really worried because we lost our first game to Capybaba's, but, well, then they kept winning, and so our resistance just got better and better and better, which was sick, and so they were feeling really good all of a sudden, and yeah, then we know the rest of that story, so awesome. Okay, so is Cinco Galemo going to be your vouch maybe for Dark Horse then? I know you said you were excited about them.
Yeah, I will co-sign where for sure. I think they've had some roster changes, but I think overall it's for the most part the same group, so
yeah.
I always like rooting for them. I guess my, like,
Volto was the ad.
Oh.
For where? Yeah, Volto actually had a good performance on stage last EUIC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Stepping in, yeah.
Hasn't Volto always been playing on this team?
I thought they were the ad.
Oh, maybe he is.
That's why they don't have the CG, eh?
Oh, yeah, probably. It says they're, yeah.
I don't know.
We're not going to look into it. I'm going to agree with you. Yeah, he was absolutely the ad. It's fine.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right.
Exactly.
Bridget, so that's going to be the round to watch for you and maybe your dark horse. So then who do you think is the safe money to win the EU April Cup?
I am drinking Noun's Kool-Aid, unfortunately. I love the reunion story of like Gatlu kind of back with the gang, and they seem to have. I didn't get to see. I was driving to like where the wedding was. It was like a 4-hour drive on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So when EU was on, Chris mentioned for a third time, he wasn't streaming qualifiers. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do?
His tab is increasing. Yeah. It's fine. Go ahead.
But Ender was streaming them, and I think he was towards the end. He had Tune and Call and Ice, and it was pretty fun. But yeah, I got to get a lot of the Nouns POV in the morning, especially when I was driving, since he was watching a lot of their games, and they seemed on it. I love the Brov mime, too. I think it's just... He owns people with it, and I love
really
that it's
does.
Almost like a perma pick. Yeah, it's so... So fun. So...
It's awesome.
I think they're feeling energized. Since basically Talibobo /4Free had won and Yalbanga had won, it'd be fun to see someone new again.
Yeah, that'd be no monthly cup with a repeat winner in EU. That'd be pretty crazy.
That's cool. That's a great storyline for the region.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good show.
I like it a lot. All right, we're already gone so long. Who cares if we go longer at this point in time? We should talk about...
Shep is dying right now.
I know.
Oh, he's
dancing on our graves. It's fine. All right, Talibobo Unleash, Nouns Esports. That was obviously the big roster move with Sreyu and Gatlu leave that squad, join Nouns Esports, and then the duo of Megu and Yutao go over to Talibobo Unleashed. Let's talk about what this change actually means for both of these squads. And this is kind of where I brought it down between these two squads. Nouns Esports have gotten a huge upgrade in terms of their hero pool. Like, now they have a lot more variety picks. Sreyu and Gatlu are known for that. For their, like, giant roster of playable Pokemon in tournaments, they're very willing to pick up a ton of different stuff and be extremely successful with it. Whether it's Sreyu's Talonflame, Espeon, Scyther, Zoro, like, there's just so many different options he can bring. And, of course, Gatlu is the same way in topside. Megu and Yutao, on the other hand, are, like, two of the best specialists on their roles, right? You have Yutao, who is just one of the best Glaceon, Espeon, or Delphox players I think I've ever seen. Just one of the best mages, mechanically, in the entire region. And then Megu, even though he roll-slapped the top half, has been fantastic on a few options, specifically when he can play defenders in top. And he has had that option. His Blaziken's great, too, but again, I've just talked about how I don't think that pick is as good as some people are making it out to be. But I don't know. It definitely feels like Talibobo is going to have to be relying on what you were talking about, Dupesnax, that like Xervas and the duo kind of combination to really, really sing to be successful. I think Nouns Esports, a lot more people have more assured feelings towards, but Talibobo Unleashed are a bit of a question mark at the moment.
See, I actually feel the exact opposite.
Interesting. Okay.
I feel the exact opposite because there's a reason, whatever that might be, that Gatlu was not on the team at the end of the season last year, right?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And the switch they made was to bring two youngsters along who clearly thrived last year on Talibobo with distinct direction. Gatlu can probably thrive not under distinct direction, which is Nouns, but I think like Gatlu going back to Nouns feels like you invited your enemy over for the barbecue, whereas Talibobo bringing in Yutao and Megu feels like kids coming home on their college break. You know what I mean? Like they're coming okay. home, and the other one feels like, oh, we're neighbors, but we like bicker about whose tree is growing over the fence. So I don't really know enough about why Gatlu was not on Nouns at the end of last year going into this year. But it was easy to see why Nouns picked up Megu and Yutao. It was just like, oh, they're just young kids with raw skill. Like bring them along, obviously. So that's why actually I feel like Talibobo might hit the ground running faster than Nouns. Or actually, no, that's not even true. I think they have the ability to go further once they get going than Nouns, because Nouns will initially be able to be like, we're all good at this game, like individually skill diff. And then we might just see what happened to Nouns at Worlds, or, you know, like at Worlds last year and throughout this season so far. I this is the problem on Nouns has never been skill. I guess that's what I'm working towards.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. So you're basically saying Tally's the winner in this trade. I'm saying Nouns is the winner in this trade. Bridget, you chose Nouns to win this tournament. Is it fair to say you are more on the Nouns side of things, or have you been swayed by Doofsnax's argument here?
Doofsnax is always very convincing.
Yes.
Yes. It's hard to say what will matter more. Like, I definitely hear what Doofsnax is saying. Like, I don't know. Like, who on Nouns is, like, keeping them all calm? Because there is a lot of, like, strong personalities, and there are long days, and you kind of need to.
Dr. Bruv HD.
Yeah,
I'm reversing my own thought process here.
Okay, good.
Oh no.
So now I think Nouns has the potential to win, has a higher potential to win because of just raw, like I just said, like skill and individual skill players showing up. But I think Talibobo bringing Megu and Yutao along and getting them gassed up and where they probably have not felt with Nouns positions them stronger for the regionals, for regionals.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'll say. So I think, again, longevity-wise, I think Talibobo has a higher ceiling because by the time they are hitting some sort of fever pitch or a pinnacle, Nouns Esports is going to hit the same shit that they've hit for the last 2 years and just realize that something in this recipe isn't working and for some reason they haven't figured out what that is. And the fact that we know they haven't figured it out is because they're bringing back the person that they kicked off the team last year. So.
All right. That's true. Well, okay. I mean, it's yet to be seen, right? Like, we're going to have to see how this tournament plays out, but how the whole year plays out, like you just said. That's a good point. My picks for the tournament, I think it's hard to not pick Nouns or Talibobo to win this entire tournament. I just feel like honeymoon phase with new players is so strong in esports that I think these teams being positioned in winner's side, very safe money. I'm going to put it on Nouns Esports, though. I'm taking them to win the whole thing. Matchup I'm most excited for is Tally versus Nouns. I can't believe none of us have said that. Like, I imagine that's going to be our winner's finals or at least our grands or something. I think that is going to be a sick matchup when it happens. Can't wait for that one. And then I'm going to put ABC as my dark horse of the tournament. They've always performed extremely well. They get into winner's side. They had an underperformance at the AOS Cup. Definitely not up to where they wanted to be performing, but I don't know. I think this could be potentially their tournament. I'm going to list them as my dark horse. So that's where I'm landing. Let's jump to North America. Hop on over. Basically, same set of questions. We have a bunch of roster mania going on in North America as well. We have the emergence of Orange Team and a brand new look for Luminosity. Luminosity, of course, Overlord, Lutano, Otter, Joey, and JL. Just a Overlord and four new people is what Luminosity is looking like this time around.
We're going to keep the best player on the planet and give them all of the best role players in their roles. Let's go.
It's honestly, like, this might be the best argument for Super Team, right? Like, it's kind of crazy. All right, Orange Team, though, a team that when we got to interview Rex Bridget, he was saying he thinks this is the strongest team in North America, or at least the team that they are most afraid of in North America in terms of the changes and everything, and What team emerged? Kratos, Zugrogue, Rolan, Flareons, and Machizel. Basically, a slightly different look of Alter Ego. The Kratos, Rolan, Machizel core sticking around. And they've got Zugrogue and Flareons on the team. And then Nemesis and Exile will be the other winner side teams. You feel me? Versus the DOL Kittens are in the first round of losers. Awesome team names.
You feel me is so much fun. Golly.
They're also,
I've gotten to play
like,
a lot with Barnwell and you, and they are so freaking funny. Even Breezy too. Like, they're just fun people.
Dude, have you
and
played
then,
with
like,
Ducky
on the
all?
Other side?
I love playing. Ducky's awesome. Ducky's a great
player. Yeah, they're all great.
Yeah. That's the problem with NA for me, is I really enjoy these teams. Like, as just, like, this Roster Mania happened, but the amalgamations of squads that have rolled out of this is, like, these are really fun teams. Like, they all feel like they have their own, like, even though they're new together, they have, like, their own five personality that they've kind of expressed in this short amount of time, and that in of itself is very fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll shut up. Whatever.
No, you're fine. I don't think you're totally right. And the final two teams, Hades versus Team YouTube, Rhino Celestial, Russ, Bora, and Lewis sticking together for another tournament on this Hades squad. And YouTube going to be Akilo, Fui, Pikadif, Sosad Sam, and Chaotic.
Yeah,
jumping into this team. Chaotic, last minute ad coming back. Had a pretty good break, it seems like, because YouTube was going to be making it into top eight yet again. Same round of questions, though, for North America, your winner, the matchup you are most excited to see, and then, of course, your dark horse of the tournament. Bridget, why don't you start?
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Bridget, you're on mute. You're on mute. Bridget, you're on mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
I
now
can
we
now.
Can. Yeah, we're good.
I was like, no, it's not tough. I know exactly what I want, and then I was muted.
Oh. Oh, well, never mind. I'll throw myself off. Oh. Are you then?
No, I want Nemesis and New LG, because those feel like the... I mean, I feel like that top four is, like, although we have, like, they're all basically different rosters, it does feel like we've had a fairly consistent top four.
Yeah.
At least, like, going into, the, like, this top eight bracket, I feel like it's usually those four teams starting on winner's side, at least, typically. Maybe I'm misremembering, but they have just feel like the most consistent teams to me. So,
yeah. Okay.
Nemesis coming off, like, their insane EUIC run. I feel like I was looking at their team and Mentalik was playing with them, but maybe I'm misremembering.
He is.
He did end up playing.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good point. For people who've been listening to the podcast, when we talked to Rex last week, he said that Relentless was going to be playing with them for this tournament. However, I think Relentless basically getting an opportunity to play with like Slash and Uzi in that crew. Probably took that, and so Mentalik did play with them for this month. So Mentalik's sticking with them, and I think they're still leading in championship points, even
yes,
despite that.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Despite that change.
Yeah.
And now they're guaranteed at least top six, so championship points Nemesis is doing quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would love to see them coming off their, like, you know, EUIC high, going against, you know, the super team, quote-unquote, who does, I mean... It's been a week, but they do seem to be doing really well from everything I've been seeing them, like, streaming, and even they were in Battle Hub last weekend. I tried to, obviously, I feel like so many people were wanting to watch their games during the qualifiers, and they looked really clean, so.
They look so good, yeah. It's scary. Yeah. I mean, this team, there's just so many good demonic players on that team, it's crazy. Are you going to choose Luminosity to win it all, then?
I kind of want Nemesis to win.
Hey, okay.
Like, which I feel like is almost kind of boring because it's like,
they won
last
tournament. They performed best for them. Yeah. I mean, they're a gangster squad. Like, they are so good at this game. Like, they legitimately
are.
I really like them. Also, Mentalik, he does play Buzz. He doesn't play it that much. Like, Nemesis is very okay giving up Buzz in draft. So maybe that Pokemon being nerfed a little bit is a benefit for Nemesis.
Yeah. I feel like during EUIC, they were one of the only teams who, when they were playing, like, copy challenge, they would just, like, ignore it with them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think that was super valuable. So Yeah, I'll probably go with Nemesis to like win it
Yeah.
all. I mean, in my dark horse, obviously DLL Kittens.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
I got to watch, I did watch a lot of Muk stream because I love Muk, and they had such a great run. I'd been watching like his team scrim a bunch. Like their ragtag group, it is hysterical. Their top laner does not speak English.
Nope.
He speaks Chinese, and they do
For
their
sure.
best to communicate with him, and it is awesome.
It's the best.
I just love them. I love
Is that
them.
what they were screaming on comms? Was
Yeah.
communication? Because all I heard was Chad and Muk saying the goofiest shit for 10 straight minutes on loop, brother. It was
Oh, Chad
insane.
was loopy.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I'm a 1v1 this Zoroark and gets absolutely crushed by a Zoroark. And I was like, yeah, baby. There is some different energy in the air. That was actually the game I was talking about where Chad picked Sableye and I messaged to Zoinks in chat in draft. I was like, there is no shot this is the Sableye game that he picks because it was objectively awful. And then he did nothing all game and they won
And they
anyways and
qualified.
he came unglued. It was my favorite game of the day that I watched. I was in tears. I was laughing so hard. And then he tried to tear his t-shirt with Muk, it caught in it and like fell over. It was a
Oh,
movie.
the Unite community like needed that. I needed that.
We
I
needed to win.
It was so funny.
I
It was
there
so
is
funny.
no well actually Chad ran it last year, but if there is another, like, I think he called it the Unites, if there is another like Unite awards show, that moment of Chad and Muk ripping their shirts on stream, like Muk had it like picture in picture Chad's phone over and they're popping off, like, I think that was easily gonna take moment
Always
of the
happens.
moment of the season in North America. I just think
Oh,
all
yeah,
like it was
for sure.
Muk creates some of the best content in the Unite space, right? Like, we can all completely agree with that. His stream's amazing and it was so good. And I just wanted to say, like, so Sobi posted on Twitter just like kind of a longer text post, but just how much it means to them to be able to like win and get into top eight, and of course like representing girls in Unite, just really pumped about that. Like, just a bunch of different things that she was excited about, and I retweeted and posted, but like I said something to the effect of like, this is so important, like, that a team, like, you have to celebrate these wins. Like, I want to make sure that people aren't downplaying others and aren't downplaying themselves because it's important. Yeah, it's just top eight or whatever. No, that's like 100 some teams in North America that you were able to make your way through. And like, if you were a new player up and coming and you see a team like DOL Kittens make it and pop off and be excited and like just showcase that they care. And that they like this game means something. I don't know. It felt like just like a really important moment and just like a good reminder to me that, like, yeah, this is like this competitive game that sometimes the game is, it's the game. And it's like, oh boy. But like this competitive community, I truly do love it. And the like, when teams like show that same love and passion towards it and can pop off and have genuine joy because of something that they have put their hard-earned time and work into and see it pay off. I don't know. It meant a lot to me to see that. So I'm stoked. We'll see what one of these, either if DOL Kittens can make a run or not in this top eight. But either way, I think it's already a gigantic W. So
Yep,
it's awesome.
definitely.
Yeah, it's crazy. But so Bridget, that's your answer to it. I think Dupsnax and I still have to fill
Yeah.
in, right? So Dupsnax, how about you? Same questions we were talking about for the other region. How about for North America?
I'm not gonna get too crazy here. I'm gonna actually follow in line quite a bit with Manhattan Bridge here. So Nem LG in the grand final would be very sick. I think that'd be
Yeah.
very cool. I also want Nemesis to win.
Okay.
And the reason is not that I don't, I like the reason it's not that I don't like players on LG. I have actually pretty decent friends with all of them. It's just that I have always preached a team sticking together and being able to grow through adversity and experience things in a perfect world. It yields results, right? Just like Kittens. They added Muk, but those are players that have been playing together for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's what made like the GT story so fun, for example, which is a tragedy that has fallen apart. YT, right? They're just players that are always gaming together. So sometimes these super teams, you know, look great and are great. But in this moment, I just kind of want to see Nemesis win this thing. Galaxy lock themselves on CP and really make a run for it in regionals and play spoiler sports and try to dominate some of these air quotes super teams and shit on their opportunities, because that's a lot of fun too, right? When you get to be the absolute spoiler because you're safe. So that's where I'm at there. Dark Horse is very difficult for me to choose because, yeah. Like I said, I played with a lot of people on You Feel Me. Obviously, Kittens are great. Play with Muck, Chad, in conversations with Chad all the time. So it's tough. It's tough to pick a Dark Horse, but I'll say literally anybody from Losers Round 1 F. That's what I'll go with. You Feel Me or DL Kittens, that's my Dark Horse. Let's get it.
Okay, whatever team wins that one is your Dark Horse. That's the Dark Horse qualifier matchup. Yeah. It is Round F. I like that a lot. Okay, matchup I am most excited to see is, unfortunately, not going to be on the main broadcast, but I'll try to catch it on Sneaky Stream or whatever it is, but I'll be B, Luminosity versus Orange Team. I think this matchup is going to be sick. I don't know. Rex talking about this team and me just looking at this squad, I am so excited for Orange Team in particular. I think this is an absolute crack squad of gamers. I can't wait to see what they can do. I think it's going to be a really, really fun match between Luminosity and Orange. It'll be more Zugrug versus Joey tank matchups, which I just feel like are kind of the story of North America sometimes. So I'm particularly excited to watch that tank matchup. So big, big fan. Maybe submission. Who knows? Yeah, that's a good point from chat. So
can I say one more thing that I forgot to say earlier?
Sure.
Orange Team versus LG is terrific, because I know there's at least online bad blood between Roland and JL.
Yeah,
and Roland is one of the most emotionally charged players I've ever watched play, and is somebody that if they get rolling will just gas themselves up more and more and more and kind of become this own like gravitational pull like force on the map, because they've just built themselves up to that point, which I think is very exciting. Okay, back to you. Sorry for cutting you off.
Cool. No. I think it's a good shout. Unfortunately, they're in the support role, which is going to be a little less like, you know, game impacting potentially, but I do, I'm with you. I think that is, it's going to be a fun one. Team that I think is going to win the tournament. I talked about it in EU. I think the honeymoon phase is a little too strong. I think this is Luminosity's tournament to win. I think they are poised the best that they have been. So I'm going to give LG my vouch to be winning the entire event. And my dark horse, I'm going to give it to YT.
Let's go.
YT is going to be my dark horse. I
respect.
Do not vouch for this team very often. I really don't. But listen, if there's a team that's going to play support Umbreon and make it look as broken as I think it is, it's going to be Akilo on YT. So I think I am going to favor YT for a Dark Horse Losers Bracket run. I have to imagine they can make it as far as Grand Finals. But yeah, I do think they could have a huge run here. So I'm going to have Team YT be my Dark Horse. But well, that brings us to the end of our episode. It's been an absolute gauntlet. I hope you all enjoyed the slightly longer episode, everybody. I certainly have a big patch to get through, a big tournament upcoming, not just for EU and NA, of course. You can tune in to Kello's stream to catch OC, I'm sure. And then, of course, Brazil and LATAM North and South will both be having their events. Tune into LATAM South to watch Fusion dominate another tournament, probably. It'll be great. It'll be a lot of fun. So, but yeah, thank you all for tuning in. But before we go, Bridget, is there anything that you want to shout out before we close up shop here?
Not really. We're playing Masks tomorrow on our friend Frog stream, so that'll be fun. When I say we, I mean Zoinks and I, not Dupesnax, but he was invited.
That's true. That's true. Well, yeah, folks, yeah, we're playing a superhero role-playing game, a tabletop role-playing game over on our friend's Frog stream. So if you're interested, check that out. I'm sure we'll talk about it on Twitter a little bit tomorrow, too. But check that out. How about YouTube's next? Anything to sell out, shout out before we jump out of here?
Follow at Big Bridget on Twitter. Tune in to the broadcast this weekend. You know, just let's play a little inside baseball here. If you care about Unite, you just got to tune in, right? Just open a tab. Watch whoever you want. If you don't want to watch the main broadcast, that's totally fine, but be a body in it. Metrics matter. There are things that are looked at. And it's what allows, you know, casting to be a thing. It's what allows these events to be a thing, right? Because if there's no eyes on it, it's a free thing. So if you can't get free eyes on it, then it's not great. So I'll just say that as my plug for this weekend. If you give a shit, tune in. At least have the tab open. Do us a favor. Peace, love, and hugs. And after this, I think if you just surf the website, Zoinks, for like 6 minutes or 10 minutes or something, I think we can close this Factor thing out. Somebody get a box of Factor. Please.
Just one more. One more. Yeah,
one more.
Yeah, that was going to be my shout out. If anybody would like to, our Factor campaign, I think it does end tomorrow around this time.
Please.
But you can still use our link to put in an order to get some delicious meals sent to your house. They just refrigerated, never frozen, and they are delectable. So go check that out. We're going to be closing up the recording for the podcast, but we're going to be all live on stream for a little bit as well, still to talk about Factor and hang out for a bit and chat to all of you. So until next week, we will see you. And reminder, next week is episode 100, and it'll probably be special, but who knows?
Oh, that's backwards. Is it backwards? No, that's, is that right? No, that's backwards. I had it right the first time. Sure.
I'm close.
Oh, nice. Close it. You nailed it. Podcast listeners are like, what? Anyway, it's going to be fantastic. So we hope to see you all there when we break down the AO Cup. All right. Love you all. And we will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.